I'm Marie Bernard, host of Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Join me Mondays at noon to start your week feeling uplifted and optimistic. Let's tap into the universal energy that connects us all. Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Mondays at noon on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver. Hello and welcome to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, or you might also be listening online at CITR.ca, CosmicDimensions.com, EmpowerRadio.com, or on the Co-Creator Network. And wherever, as always, that you're listening from, thank you so much for joining me and the guest today. So today we are going to be speaking with Allison Mead. She is the author of Searching for Sassy and Psychic Since Childhood. Allison has been reading people since she was 19. She's received numerous certificates at the highest levels in astrology, tarot, Reiki, matrix energetics, neuro-linguistic programming, mindfulness-based stress reduction, dream interpretation, and sound healing. She's also the best-selling author of Wake Up to Your Stories and Wake Up to Your Weight Loss. And her writing has been published in over 30 publications, and she's won tons of awards for her work, and she's also widely known as the Sassy Psychic. You can find her online at sassypsychic.com, and she loves helping people all over the world. So welcome to the show. Hi,
hey,
Allison.
Hey, how are you?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Doing great.
I'm so excited to have you on the show because for a number of reasons, and I think they'll become clear as we continue our discussion. So first of all, welcome, and thank you for being with us today. Now, you broke up with a guy and you started working as a phone psychic. Tell us a little bit about how that went.
Right. Well, I had a job. I had been working in publishing in New York City as an editor and a writer, and had a long-term relationship. And then we went through an awful, awful breakup, and there just weren't enough states in the United States to put between us. So I decided to just jump in my car and move out to Los Angeles, where, of course, there's absolutely no publishing work. So, well, very little publishing work. So soon I found myself kind of falling backwards into this job as a phone psychic. I spent my last $20 getting a reading in an aromatherapy store. And a couple days later, I had a job. But there I found myself reading people who were exactly like me, who were kind of lovelorn, looking for connection, things like that.
And so it's interesting. What are some of the things that you learned? Because I would imagine that love is probably the number one thing that people want to know about. And then there's money and health, of course.
Yeah.
As a psychic, and really as, I volunteer at a suicide hotline, and you would be surprised to actually, well, you might not be because of the work that you do, but suicide isn't generally the number one choice. It's relationship conflicts of all sorts. So how was it? I mean, did you find this a healing experience for you, considering that you'd just gone through a breakup? Or what was that like? What did you glean from your time as a phone psychic?
It was very much healing. At first, it was a little bit of a struggle, because I don't think anybody really likes having a giant mirror held up to them when they're in this time of incredible change, because everything had changed about my life, my relationship status, my home. I was having a massive amount of culture shock moving to Los Angeles from New York, but ultimately incredibly healing. It showed me first and foremost that suffering is universal. It's absolutely universal, and therefore compassion has to be universal in order to help everybody.
And so thank you, Allison. And I'm curious now, what made you decide to write this book? And I want to ask you some of the juicier stories. And I have lots of questions. And also, I want to know, too, I can imagine that on at least some level, confidentiality of your clients would be important. So how much of this book is factual and how much is embellished?
It's absolutely factual, except everyone's names have been changed. Everyone but me. Because I didn't want anyone to feel any kind of suffering that I was sharing their story at all and being able to connect it back to them. But it was important for me to be factual. I was working from a diary that I found in my garage. It was important to be factual, I think, in order to... I wanted to really go there. If I was going to go there, I wanted to go there, even if it was embarrassing about myself.
Well, thank you for that. I think we need to be able to laugh at ourselves and to be authentic. And so many people are afraid to say things that will embarrass themselves for some reason. But so thank you for being willing to share that part of yourself in the book.
Sure.
And so now the book is out this month. Is it in stores yet?
It's not. The launch date of the book is next Tuesday, April 24th.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
And so now you've been psychic since you were a kid.
Yeah.
But what exactly, I mean, obviously you needed a job when you got to LA, but was there anything else that you, I mean, do you feel like it was, there was some kind of pull to become a phone psychic or to, I mean, had you really been doing any kind of readings prior to that?
I had, actually. I was kind of developing it on the side of my life. I don't think I ever really thought that it was a direction I was going to go in professionally, but I continued to read a lot. I'm a huge reader. I read a lot of astrology and tarot cards and taught myself how to read cards at about 18, so I started giving readings at 19. And so I really never thought that it was going to flip-flop. I always thought it was going to be writing and the publishing. And then those two careers kind of flip-flop for me at a certain point and have never really looked back, although I still write. Obviously, I wrote the book, but it's certainly not the main thrust of my career.
Okay, cool. Well, I actually, I'm one of the things that I'm so excited to talk to you about is that this whole love breakup thing. For me, I just went through a breakup recently. I've been dating, and everyone who listens to the show is probably sick to death of me talking about it all the time. I have a little bit of an obsessive personality, and I overanalyze things, so I go over and over again. So yeah, bear with me. But one of the things that actually I recently in the last couple of days came to a realization about was that I'm now through the mourning of this relationship and through the processing of it all, I've come to a place where I can actually now articulate my purpose on this planet. I've had sort of a vague idea about what it was, but now I have a really clear, articulate vision of it. And so I want to ask you, what do you think your life purpose is, if you know?
I think it's got a couple prongs on it, but yeah, it has become very, very clear, and I think there's actually another prong that my guides are in the process of revealing, but definitely to continue writing, to heal, and another prong of that healing would be to try to alleviate as much suffering as I can in this lifetime, to inform, to accept. And then the fifth one, as I say, is being revealed to me as we speak in dreams and visions and things like that.
Hmm. So how do you, Allison, connect to your guides? Is there any, do you see them? Do you hear them? How does it work for you?
It started out that I was more heavily clairaudient than the others. I think it kind of goes along with my lifelong absolute love and obsession about music. But eventually, I started out by just kind of closing my eyes, and what would come first would be the words through my ears. But eventually, I was able to see and also to sense in my body different sensations, hot and cold, different areas of resistance, and that all of that I began to associate with my guides.
And so when you were working as a phone psychic, mm-hmm. how did you connect with your callers? How did you come up with the information that they were asking for?
Well, originally we were instructed to get their birth date just because we needed to make sure that they were over 18. So what that obviously does right off the bat as well is give you some astrological information. So in my head, I could visualize what's called a natural chart. I'm not sure how familiar with astrology you are, but you can put their sun sign at the ascendant and then see the rest of the planets in that wheel-shaped chart. So I could use that. Ironically, people wonder about how you can read people over the phone because you're not facing them, but I find it's easier because you're not distracted by their face or their body language or their clothing or their haircut or anything that you could, I suppose if someone had an arty haircut, you could assume they were creative. But if I can't see you, it actually makes me have to work for the information a little bit more, and it actually, I find that the information that I receive is a lot purer.
So I'm also curious, Allison, now so many people, they say psychic being, you know, a psychic who does readings is all about really reading people. So you don't necessarily have to be super connected to higher guides or whatever. You just have to be observant of people. How would you respond to that statement?
I think that's actually part of intuition. So I think that's partially true. I'm just reminded of the television show Psych. When I first saw Psych, I thought, yeah, that's part of being psychic is being very observant. It's just that being intuitively psychic also means that you're making the leap between what you can see and observe on the physical plane, and you're also adding whatever information you can pull from the collective unconscious or from guides, guardian angels, whatever you want to call them. So I don't resist. When people doubt like that, I don't resist at all. I just say, sure, yeah, that's part of it.
So what would you say is one of the most juicy, entertaining type calls that you've received as a phone psychic? I'm sure you have lots of them.
Yeah, I mean, as you know from having seen the book, there are a lot of calls that are pretty racy, a lot of sexual stuff. I'm thinking of a young man who, at first I thought, because he was very interested in sex and talking about getting a girlfriend, I thought that he was interested in speaking with a sex line. There was a sex line right next to us in the same office, which was odd enough as it was, but he kept saying he wanted to talk to me, but then he had certain sexual proclivities that he liked to do in big box stores during the daytime while people were shopping.
What? Oh, that's hilarious. I see handcuffs in your future.
There are just a lot of things that kind of don't leave your mind no matter what you do.
That's hilarious.
But I was just so, I talk about it in the book, but I was just so determined that I was not going to make this kid feel like sex was dirty. So I really didn't want him to feel like he was a weirdo, even if he had these strange behaviors he liked to do. And I just kept saying, don't get caught. That's really not what you want to do. You'll get in trouble.
And so, Allison, thank you for sharing that one. I'm actually surprised that someone would, yeah, I mean, you would think that they would just call the other line for that.
I thought he was pranking me at first, and then he just kept saying no, and he had called me a couple of times, so.
And so, I mean, was he asking for spiritual guidance, or what, I mean, how did that go down?
He really knew he had a problem. He had, like, a very high sex drive and a lot of that kind of energy. And I just kept saying, you just need to find a woman. You know, you're a straight man, so you need to find a woman. And he just kept saying, there's all kinds of women around me, but they don't want to be with me.
Oh.
So I was just helping him trying to strategize and solve that problem so that he wouldn't feel like such a strangeo.
A strangeo. And I'm curious, Allison, were there any calls that sort of were defining moments for you that brought you clarity in your own life?
Yeah. I mean, I can think of one in particular, because as you saw in the part of the journey of the book is my sort of steadfast refusal to believe that I'm psychic at that time of my life. I really just thought, oh, I read cards. I know a little bit about astrology, but I didn't believe I was psychic. I thought that was another sort of rarefied level that I may or may not ever get to. But a woman who's called Clara in the book, and was trying to escape an abusive husband. And I knew that our service cost a lot of money to call. I believe it was $4.99 a minute at the time. Mm-hmm. And so she called me over a series of days, and I helped her develop a plan to get away from this abusive man and get to the United States to be with her sister. I think she was in Alaska to begin with, and she had to come through Canada to get to, I think she was going to San Francisco, something like that. And I, after I hung up the phone, the final day that I heard from her, when she was just arriving at her sister's, I talked to her, I hung up the phone, I went into the bathroom and just burst into tears, because there was no more denying it. It was just true, and I had helped this woman do something, and I couldn't hide from it anymore.
So now, do you, when you say you couldn't hide from it anymore, do you, is it a sense of duty that this is your life's work that you're not wanting to hide from, or just the fact that you have this intuitive power?
I think it's complicated. I think that's part of it, what you just said, part of the intuitive power. You need to learn how to have good boundaries about that. You need to learn how to respect other people's boundaries, not always track energy into their life and find out their secrets. You also need to be responsible with the information you tell people and when. I mean, it's a complicated lifestyle. It also, for life, basically kind of places you outside because you are, by definition, not like other people. And I think I was resisting that because I knew on some level that it was going to come with some baggage and some responsibility. But with time and healing, I'm good with it. Now I'm good with it.
Cool. All right. Well, Allison, it is time for a break already, so we'll be back in just a moment. This is Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and we are speaking with Allison Mead. She's the author of Searching for Sassy, an LA phone psychic's tale of life, lust, and love. And we'll be back with more synchronicity momentarily.
Vancouver will be twirling its tassels for the seventh year in a row when the Vancouver International Burlesque Festival takes to the stage May 3rd to 5th at the Rio and Vogue Theatres. There are more international performers this year than ever before, including the current reigning queen of burlesque, Miss Indigo Blue, and the boylesque sensation, Jet Adore. The festival has variety acts, live music, comedians, and burlesque all together in three nights of the sexiest and most entertaining weekend of the year. Tickets are available from northerntickets.com or visit the festival website at vanburlesquefest.com.
Hi, my name is Manny Malhotra, and I play forward for the Vancouver Canucks. I've also joined another team, the Canucks Autism Network, and I hope you'll join us on April 1st as we light the cauldron in celebration of World Autism Awareness Day. Come to Jackpool Plaza and enjoy music, food, entertainment, and family fun. To learn more about the event or how you can donate, volunteer, or participate, visit CanucksAutism.ca.
Cinco Cinco Wednesdays at the Cobalt. $5 cover, $5 draft, and $5 highballs. A weekly showcase of up-and-coming bands, artists, and DJs, where the artists get 100% of their ticket sales. For more information, visit thecobalt.ca.
Welcome back to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard. Thanks for being with me today and with today's guest, Allison Mead. She's the author of Searching for Sassy, an LA phone psychic's tales of life, lust, and love. And you can also find her at sassypsychic.com. So what kind of things do you offer people now? You're not working in this office anymore. Or do you still sometimes do that?
No, it was a little bit cramped in my style. I like to be a little bit more freewheeling, and I was also unable in that environment to kind of operate with the ethics that I prefer to operate with.
Mm-hmm.
So, probably my two most popular readings are phone and email readings. I also offer dream interpretations, channeling, astrocartography, which is a kind of astrology that lays your birth chart over a map of the world and helps to figure out where to move.
Whoa, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's really cool. You can, I mean, let's say you're having a bad time finding a relationship where you are. I could tell you a lot of places in the world where it would be better, or money, or jobs, or anything like that. I also do a lot of energy work. I'm certified as a Karuna Reiki Master and in Matrix Energetics, and that's really great to help people not to find out what's going to happen in the future, but really to create the future they'd like. So that's really helpful.
So what is Matrix Energetics? Can you tell us more about that?
Sure. It's an energy healing modality developed by Dr. Richard Bartlett in Seattle, Washington. And he was a chiropractor and very interested in quantum physics. And so he used some of the ideas from quantum physics to act upon the body in the energy within the body and then outside the body.
Cool. And then what else do you offer? You do neuro-linguistic programming. Now, that seems kind of manipulative. How do you use this in your work, and how do you coach people with that?
I don't use the manipulative part, although I know what you talking about. I know a lot of business people and people in speeches and stuff use it to sway opinion. But the idea that's really applicable to the work that I do is with reframing. So let's say something terrible. Maybe we could talk about your situation. You have a breakup.
Yeah.
And you can choose to go in a lot of directions, as you've probably already seen as part of this process. You can get angry. You can get depressed. You can swear off men, women, whatever. You can say you're going to become a nun.
Oh, I've said, that's true. I have said that.
So there are so many choices. And so that's part of what's overwhelming about a breakup is that there isn't that one reliable choice anymore. There are a whole bunch. So with reframing, you can start to narrow the field of choices that work for you right now and even put a new frame around what you're going through so that you can get through the tough stuff to the good stuff.
Cool. And so how do you do that? Can you give me an example?
Sure. So, for example, if you came to me and you were saying, I'm having all sorts of obsessive thoughts about this person I was with, and I can't seem to let go, and I'm miserable, and I'm thinking I'm never going to have love again in my life. And I would say, okay, I hear that. That's totally normal. And then let's work with that. So it might be a combination of energy work to maybe release some of the patterns that aren't helping you anymore, but then also reframing to take the phrase, maybe I'm not going to have any more love in my life, and start out with a question. What would it look like if I were to have love in my life again? And then to sort of let that question sit for a bit in your life and come into clarity and then work from there. And continue narrowing down the scope until you have what you're looking for.
Cool. Thank you. So I'm noticing, are you calling from Skype?
No.
Okay, there's some kind of echoey feedback happening, so I'm not sure about the sound quality of the show. So I just want to get through, because people, what would you say is the main purpose for... she's calling from...
Is her radio on, though?
No, she's calling from far away, so she wouldn't have a radio on. You don't have your computer on with the show running, do you?
I don't know.
No. Thanks,
but I
Scotty.
Can move away from the computer a little bit.
That was Scotty from Scotty's Scenic Drive trying to give me some technical advice. Sometimes sometimes there's an echoey feedback, and I don't know exactly why. But what would you say is the biggest reason, or what are people going to get from reading this book?
Well, I hope they understand. Well, I hope they're entertained, first of all. I think it's pretty much of a ride. Going on this ride is because sometimes harrowing and sometimes hilarious and sometimes embarrassing. I also hope that they begin to accept whatever is different about them. So if that's a particular skill or talent, or if that's just a generalized feeling of feeling different, I hope that people take that away from the book.
Wonderful. And so I'm just wondering, I feel like I've covered some main points, and because of the sound issues, I'm wondering how much longer we could continue. So what would you like to get across most today to listeners?
One of my favorite things to say is embrace your weird. And so whatever I have a lot of people who gravitate towards me, I guess, because I am very, very accepting of all kinds of different people. There's practically nothing you can tell me that I haven't heard. And I believe that part of my role on the planet is really to accept people who come to me and to teach them how to heal and accept themselves. So part of this book for me has been enormously healing and accepting for my own life. And I hope that other people are able to apply that to their own lives as well.
Cool. And is there anything else? So there, your website is sassypsychic.com. And again, it's coming out next week?
The launch date is April 24th, which is next Tuesday. And just to let listeners know, we are doing a launch date promotion. And a series of bonuses are going to be given away for free if the book is purchased on the 24th.
Okay, so like to get high Amazon rankings?
We're actually going to do, even though I know most people do it that way, but that would be great if that happens. But we're also going to allow people to do it through Barnes & Noble, Powell's, inbound if they want to use their local bookstore or any bookstore. So it's less about numbers on a particular site for me and more about just, you know, launching the book with a bang.
Okay, cool. And so if people want to get in on the little gifties, where should they go to find out about that?
The ideal place to go would be to sassypsychic.com and to sign up for my email list, because instructions about how to redeem that will be going out probably on the 22nd or 23rd.
Sassypsychic.com. And before I let you go, who do you think is your target audience for this book?
Well, because the majority of my clientele is comprised of women, probably women, I would say sort of 22, maybe to 60. And anybody who's really interested in spiritual seeking.
Cool. And a good laugh, right? I mean, it's going to be entertaining. And
I like to think so. It's because I don't take myself very seriously. So all of my sort of silly, dirty laundry is out there.
Woo-hoo.
Well, yeah, whatever.
And also, is there the book, each chapter is a month and the sign that goes along with it. Is there any significance to that, or is that just how you broke it down?
It's how I wanted to break it down. It also weirdly, I noticed when I was reading back over the events of my life in the diary that I used to create the book, and a lot of the guys that I was dating at these different times fell into that weird pattern. So I just decided to do it that way.
So, like, in August you were dating someone who was a Leo?
Yeah, it worked out that way.
How funny. So did you have, like, 12 different boyfriends?
Or? No, not that many. But that probably would have been really, really experiential.
And a whole other topic for a whole other book.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm developing an online class about intuitive dating because, and I will be teaching it around the country as I tour with the book at a couple of locations, but I think more people will probably be able to access it online. This experience has so much taught me that we can use our native intuition. You don't have to be fully, you know, full-on psychic giving people readings. We can use our intuitions to have better dating experiences, better relationships, and so I wanted to share what I had learned with people with that online course, which is coming up.
Well, and so is there one thing that people can, for their, whether it's relationships, career, knowing intuitively the best thing to do for their health? I mean, what's one little tidbit that you can share for people to tap into the intuition that they have?
Let's see, one thing. I think it would be a two-pronged thing. One would be to move inward. So I always encourage people to meditate, but it doesn't have to be that formal. If you want to invite guides in, do that right before sleep, because that's when the veil is the thinnest between the worlds. But then secondly, to trust what you get. That doesn't mean that necessarily if you have a dream about the stock market, you pour your life savings into the stock the next day, but do it in small little ways where you can test the information you're getting, but you sometimes have to make a leap of faith. And I think that's what this book is about, and I do encourage people to make smart leaps of faith.
I love that. Actually, I want to ask you, since I have you on the line, I'm going to take advantage of my time with you.
Sure, go for it.
I had a dream the other day, the other night, about Toronto. And I wasn't sure if it was just a dream, you know, just a random brainiac dream, or if it was some kind of, you know, maybe I need to move to Toronto for my career or to find my life partner or something like that. And since you do dream interpretation, do you mind spending a moment on that?
Not at all. What else happened in the dream?
I don't really remember. I just remember I was in Toronto.
Okay.
Which last summer I was in Toronto for a weekend. So it was kind of a almost like a memory-based dream. But it felt like when I woke up, I kind of felt like, I don't know if specifically Toronto was where I needed to go, but I had feelings and thoughts that I may need to move in order to fulfill more of my purpose.
I agree with you. Dreams of this nature don't necessarily always mean this, but in your case, I would say definitely yes. The reason I'm saying that is because even as you were beginning to speak at the beginning of this interview, and I wasn't on the, you know, technically on the show yet, I had a very strong vision of, because I know you're on the west coast of Canada, of like almost like a someone being launched into the air and you landing more on that. I know it's not, Toronto's not really right on the East Coast, but it's closer. But I wasn't sure if it was Toronto or Montreal because it didn't show me. And I also saw a much deeper rooting there for you. So I was wondering what, I know you're on the radio, of course, but do you have a healing practice or do you have something else where you would have a brick and mortar store or office?
No, but I feel like part of my, but I mean, okay, first of all, I have to say I love Vancouver. In Toronto, I would go there for an amazing opportunity, but it just does not compare to Vancouver.
Oh, I love Vancouver too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely adore it.
So I'm kind of hesitant, even though there's this feeling of maybe I need to move. It's like, well, if I was going to do that, it would have to be like epic for me to leave such an amazing city like Vancouver. But as far as my healing, like I feel like my purpose, I don't do energy healing or psychic work or anything like that. But one of the things that I've sort of known for a long time is part of my purpose is sort of to just be me and be honest and authentic. And what I've come to be a little bit more clear about is that whether it's through my show or I'd really love to have a television show with a live studio audience.
There we go. Okay.
But however it manifests, I feel like it used to be like to help. I knew that my purpose was to help people, but I feel like my purpose more specifically is to help people or inspire people or show them how to be their authentic selves, even in the face of it making other people uncomfortable.
I absolutely love that, as you might imagine I would. I adore that, and that's exactly what I was seeing. I mean, it's not necessarily that I was seeing television. I was just seeing once you were sort of vaulted across the country, that there was a strong, hard landing and a deeply groundedness for you there. So while I totally agree that Vancouver rules, no question about it, there are more opportunities for what you want to do in Toronto, and I do believe that you're going to have serious roots there. And you need to follow up on that television thing, absolutely.
Okay, cool, good to know.
Even if you just started out, what I'm seeing that your guides are telling me right now, and I know we're going far afield of a dream interpretation now, but whatever. What they're showing me is, like, even if you started out by having a camera on you in the radio show, in the studio, and then using that as the as the lever to kind of launch into a live studio audience show.
Cool. Thank you. Yeah, and one of the things, so I've started recording shows for YouTube, and I don't put every show on YouTube, but once in a while. And also, I've started approaching, and I'm wondering if this launching across the country, it would be nice maybe if it was more metaphorical because I do love Vancouver so much. I have been approaching other community stations and I'm working on having this show syndicated in other parts of the country.
I think that's fantastic, but I do still believe there will be a physical move to Toronto.
Oh.
You can still come back or even maintain a place and try to spend maybe 6 months and 6 months, something like that. But the roots, I feel, in Toronto are pretty deep for you because you're accepted pretty quickly.
Okay.
Does that make sense? You're accepted by an audience. Therefore, you're required to be there.
Okay.
So it's actually, I think by the time this is actually happening for you, the resistance is melting because you're seeing, oh, okay, that reward is worth it.
Yeah.
And I can always come back to Vancouver.
Yeah.
Because they will always accept you as well.
Okay, cool. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, it's going to be, I mean, what I saw in my mind's eye, when you said the word television, you didn't even have to go any further than that. I just had this, like, whole bunch of images went off in my mind. And I saw that it was, and it's a bad comparison, so forgive this, but Oprah-esque, but much more interesting, much more down and dirty, gritty, and
no, oh my gosh, you're totally psychic. My vision for the show is like a cross between like Oprah and Tyra, very entertainment based, but also a platform for true healing and not just exploiting my guests, but helping them to see where they're at, where they need to be, and then, of course, inspiring people who are watching, because they're going to be in that same position and inspired to take action on, in their lives as well. So that's what where my show is, and it's going to be like fun and flirty and all of that, but very... not too woo-woo exactly. I mean, I'm open to that.
Love it.
But more just like tangible stuff that you can actually use to create change in your life.
Well, I think it's amazing. I think it's going to be very successful. And I also am seeing people being healed on stage. So it's not, I think you go beyond even just the inspiration.
Oh, totally. Like I want to do, yeah, I mean, as much as is possible to do in an hour.
Perfect.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. So is this what your readings are like?
Oh yeah. This is, I mean, we're basically doing one.
People should totally go to your website, sassypsychic.com.
Only normally there's a chart in front of me. Can I just ask you, you don't have to tell me all your personal information on the air, but can I just ask you when your birth date and month are?
I'm a July Leo, if that helps.
So late July. All right. So that's why I was getting August earlier, because I got the month of August. And the progress you make between now and August being almost like how the plates of the earth it exerts pressure to make a diamond. So they're showing me the same kind of pressure where you're probably going to be experiencing a lot of pressure between now and August to push in this direction, to get on the launching pad.
Cool. Scary.
Yes, it might not be pleasant all the time.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Well, good. And I think one of the reasons that the relationship might have gone by the wayside is for this.
Interesting. So I'm wondering now, I hope you don't mind me picking your brain about my own personal...
No, it's exciting. I get excited about other people's stuff. Cool. That's why I adore my clients. I don't have to work to adore my clients because they're all so cool and doing so many cool things with their lives. So I believe in morphic fields, as in matrix energetics. If someone else in your life is doing something amazing, you're in that same field because you know them. Therefore, be excited for them because it also means that you have that energy around you too.
Awesome. Oh my gosh. Okay, cool. Well, and yeah, I was thinking when you were talking about the thing, what do you call it, where you put the chart over the map?
Astrocartography or astrolocality. It's called either one. I call it astrocartography just because people know what cartography means map usually. And I would just need to see your whole, I mean, I can communicate with you after the show and just get your full on birth information and then
cool.
Open the map of the world.
Well, I was actually thinking for some girlfriends of mine who are dating who live in kind of areas where it's pretty dry.
Okay.
For dating. And so I'm going to send them your way. For sure.
Sure. And I can always do gift certificates too. People think that might be good for somebody else they know.
Cool. Okay, so where were we at with... Okay, so we were talking about the relationship and the possibility of like the move.
Yeah.
And okay, so things are... Well, the tension, yeah. I mean, I've definitely been feeling that tension. I'm noticing like white hairs. Oh my gosh. I had one like a year ago and now I have... many. Thankfully, I have light hair, so it's not that noticeable to anyone but me.
Yeah, plus it's wisdom.
So this pressure is going to be building. And so I'm wondering if there's any kind of indicators that I should be looking. I mean, I'm not just going to pack up everything and trust that like I show up in Toronto and things are going to fall into place for me. I need to have a path that's leading me there.
Sure. I would suggest, and what I'm seeing right now are two separate journeys to Toronto in that time period. And to feel it out, to meet with people, you know, somehow to solidify that more for you so that you can make the move with more practical sense.
Cool. And so I'm wondering, like last year, the trip that I took to Toronto, it was interesting because I've been to Toronto only twice, both times. The first time I won a trip.
Oh.
To the Hay House I Can Do It conference. All expenses paid. It was awesome. It was freezing cold and windy. And I was like, Toronto is not for me. And then I went. And then Maxwell House Coffee, they have their Optimism Cafe. They had one over the summer in Toronto. And I was sent there. And I hate the heat and I hate the sun. But I... had the chance to walk around the city and I really had a great tour guide friend. And I thought, you know, I could see myself, it's not ideal because I love Vancouver, but for the right opportunity, I could see myself being here at least on a temporary basis. So I kind of feel like that trip was almost the precursor to this sort of vision for the future.
Yeah, I'm kind of thinking, you think the universe has given you a hint?
Maybe, but then I'm wondering, because right now there's not a lot of extra funds, so I'm not going to be taking a trip to Toronto just for the heck of it. But so I'm wondering if maybe I'm going to have some other call to be in Toronto for some reason that's not at my expense or anything like that.
Yeah, my first impression is to put it out, universe and your guides, angels, whomever you speak with, to just say, if this is where I'm meant to be, please help me manifest people to meet with, a reason to go, a more stable reason so that I can build a life there, or not.
Okay, cool. So it sounds like, and it sounds like really great advice just to, in general, for anyone who is coming to some sort of crossroads in their life, to sort of ask the universe, like, please show me signs that give me a clear indication of where I need to be.
Right, and then being very open to what the signs are. I think sometimes we want a certain answer and we disregard the signs we don't like. So it's being open. And then what they always say in Matrix as well is notice what you notice. So that's notice what you notice that's different about yourself, and notice what's different that's coming toward you from the rest of the world.
Beautiful. And I want to ask you another clarifying question just for everyone in general. When you have these signs, is it fair to, you know, see something and you're like, okay, I'm not sure if this is a sign or if this is wishful thinking or whatever, and to ask for further clarity on that sign or a second sign or just something to make it, because so many times we see what we want to see.
Yeah.
And so how do you, especially, I mean, in your work as a psychic, how do you discern the difference between wishful thinking and true guidance?
Well, wishful thinking, maybe I'll put it this way. Information from guides, true information from guides that are your highest guides, that have your highest good in mind, will never, ever ask you to do something that's going to harm yourself. So sometimes people think, well, what if I'm possessed by a demon and I think it's a guide? No. Nobody who's a guide, a true guide, will ask you to do something that could be potentially self-harming. So if a guide came in and said, you should get in your car tonight and drive to Toronto and let the tips fall where they may, that's probably not very accurate guidance. But if a guide is coming in and saying, trust, in general, or maybe you're driving down the road and you see three signs that have the word trust on it, and it leaps off the page at you. That's an indication that maybe you need to trust this direction a little bit more, maybe trust your own intuition a little bit more, but not to take crazy chances. I never advise people to take nutsy chances with their lives that are going to decimate their finances or anything like that. There's most of the time, guides want you to take the time that's required to make a big move or a big change because they have something invested in you. And if you want me to tell you, I can tell what they have invested in you is almost precisely what you were saying is a description of your show. They need these healing modalities, these healers in general, to get out to a bigger audience so that the healing can be dispersed throughout the world more. It's almost like you are the conduit. So if you are looking for intuitive information about that and a guide said, move to Florida, you'd be like, no. That's not helpful. Thanks. But no, I don't need to put on a bikini right now.
No.
So it's a process of refinement. For most people, you're going to start and you're going to think, okay, that's not psychic. That's just something that's going on in my mind or that's my thought. And that process is very normal. So it's just a process of continually refining that and testing it against the world in small and manageable ways that's going to help anybody get more intuitive about anything.
Thank you, Allison. I really feel, I kind of feel all tingly after talking to you. Is that the experience of many of your clients?
Yes. Yeah, because I, just as I know some people think that intuition is a good power of observation, which I believe it's part of being psychic. I also believe that my role here is that of a little bit of a cheerleader, a little bit of an encourager. People come to me when they're at these times of transition that aren't fun. They come to me at times when they're miserable or they're hurting or maybe they're sick. I work with a lot of terminally ill people.
Hmm.
But that being said, there's never not a way to navigate through it. You just need help.
And so there's more questions I want to ask you. So I'm going to put you on hold because it's time to play an ad. So this is Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard. And right now we are speaking with Allison Mead. She is the author of Searching for Sassy, an LA phone psychic's tale of life, lust, and love. And that's coming out next Tuesday. And if you want to grab some gifts, if you're going to pick up the book, very entertaining and fun and inspiring, if you are going to pick up the book, go to her website, sassypsychic.com, because if you buy on the launch date, there's a bunch of gifty-doos that you're going to get. I don't know if you're familiar with book launches, but sometimes it's like crazy deals that come out from like 100 people, and I don't know exactly the deal that she's got going on. Maybe she can give us some more details before we wrap up the show. But this is Synchronicity, and we'll be back in a moment.
Awesome!
Awesome!
Join Jason on a spiritual and musical journey to becoming relentlessly awesome every Thursday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. only on CITR. By the way, you're awesome.
Welcome back to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and we are speaking with Allison Mead. She's the author of Searching for Sassy, an LA phone psychic's tales of life, lust, and love. And so since we're talking about the launch, what are some of the gifts people are going to get if they pick it up on the launch date?
There are all kinds of discounts from a number of healers I know, but I wanted to keep it a little bit more a little smaller and a little more intimate. I really hand chose every single person in it rather than kind of carpet bombing.
So fair enough.
there are downloadable meditations. There are e-books. There are all kinds of discounts. I just found out that my long-lost cousin is a tarot expert who lives in Maine, so there's a copy of her book that's signed and some tarot wrapping paper. Some great discounts on homeopathic remedies and flower essences, aura sprays, and things like that. So I'm really happy with the package that we have because I know everyone personally on it, and I can not only vouch for them, but I call them friends. I'm lucky to call them friends, and I think they're amazing, healing, cool, light-bearing people in the world.
Ooh, I love that.
Yeah.
That is, there is the carpet bombing method, and that can be fun.
That's great, too. I mean, I'm part of those sometimes with people I know, with different friends, and I get approached to do a lot more of them, but I just wanted to handpick it. This book is so personal to me that I wanted to make the launch personal, too.
Cool. So I totally forgot the question that I was going to ask you before the break that I was all tingly about, so.
We were talking about... We're talking about your move and healing and TV show.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I don't know what it was. I guess it wasn't that important, but I'm sure I'll think of it later after the show. Is there anything you mentioned that you speak with terminally ill people in your work? Is there anything special that you want to share about that?
Well, that's another transition in life. It's hard for us to see that because there's a very deeply instilled fear of death. But working with terminally ill people, I mostly use energy work. Sometimes, if they ask me, I try to help them mitigate the condition that they have, if it's possible for them to continue living or to live a better quality of life for a longer period of time. Other times, I'm charged with helping them make that transition between life and death. And sometimes it's ironically, it's almost a little similar working to working at the psychic line, where you see a lot of suffering, but sometimes the person doing the dying is not suffering. The irony is that everyone around is suffering, mm-hmm. and that person is just really working on letting go.
And so it's interesting when people are passing, and the so many times you hear of people staying alive almost until the people they love around them are able to actually accept. Like the person who's dying is already accepted and is ready to go.
Usually, yeah.
But everyone else is still clinging to whatever issues they have. And so many times until the loved ones are able to let go, the person stays alive and is suffering.
Right. And that's sometimes part of my work as well, to work with family members or mates, children, whoever's interested and wants to work with me. I work sometimes with the entire group around that person as the person is transitioning. So, yeah, it's a complicated issue. It's certainly one that I have my own opinions about, but those won't be true for every single person. So it is deeply, deeply personal, and whenever I walk into that space, it's sometimes a big, for me, a process of acclimation and finding that place of respect so I can respect what they want.
Hmm. Beautifully said. Well, Allison, I wish I could remember the question I wanted to ask you. I feel like I'm having a total brain fart, but
that's okay. I can tell you one more thing if you want a couple more things.
Yeah, tell me. Go for it.
During the break, I had a couple more impressions about your move and your show. That the reason that they're doing what it's called in metaphysical terms an acceleration. So that's what you're undergoing between now and August. That's the pushing together of the layers to make the diamond. The reason that's happening, they're showing me, is because what they'd really like is for the show to be on the air by fall of 13.
Okay, wow.
Yeah, they're showing me that they'd like it to be in serious, serious development by, like, summer, and then either shooting or on the air by the fall. So they need to crunch you a little bit right now. So if that happens for you, don't take it personally.
Wow.
Yeah, they're leading you very seriously to a place of the image I keep getting in my mind's eye is almost like a Joan of Arc, like a person with a on a horse. This is you, riding a horse with a banner. Like you're leading the charge into the future. That doesn't mean you're going to be burned at the stake, but that's the image I get. It's a heroic female riding a horse with a banner, charging into battle, and battle in quotations, because obviously we don't need war metaphors, but the battle is really basically to help people see that there are other ways to heal and be inspired, which is what you're doing.
Well, okay, so I have, and unless there's something else you want to add, because I don't want to interrupt your wonderful thoughts.
Mm-mm.
No, okay. So I'm looking for my life partner.
Mm-hmm.
And part of me, like, I feel like for me to fulfill my purpose and for him to fulfill his purpose, I feel like we need to come together. But relationships take a lot of time, and I'm wondering if maybe the opposite is true for me right now, and that I need to focus less on relationships and more on my mission.
I think that's absolutely accurate, and that your relationship will come in and dovetail beautifully, perfectly, with where you are geographically and where you are emotionally.
So does that mean I should just stop dating?
No, not at all, because it can bring enjoyment in your life. It can help you feel attractive. I mean, there's nothing wrong with stopping dating. And you could find, I mean, I keep getting that you might even be dating someone who's working on your show.
So yeah,
the first question
that
I had for you is, do you know any producers?
I know some people in TV in various forms, so you never know.
It may be someone they know or a friend of a friend of a friend, something like that. But the first image that immediately came to mind was someone who worked on the show where you both had the same goal, not only in life and personal stuff, but in professional stuff as well. And then the big challenge was going to be the work-life balance.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
That's a nice problem to have, though.
Yeah, totally. Awesome. Okay, well, the next show coming up is Parts Unknown, and it's starting in just a few minutes. So, Allison, thank you so much for being on the show. Is there anything that you want to add, either for myself or both for myself and about your fabulous book, Searching for Sassy?
Well, for you, it was fantastic to meet you. I'm extremely excited to just stay in touch with you over time and hear how this all gets together, and I want to be on your show when it happens.
Yeah.
It looks amazing.
That would be awesome. You could totally do, like, love makeovers on my show.
I like that, actually. But as regards the book, yeah, I hope that people enjoy it. It was really, really fun to write. It is definitely a roller coaster ride. It's got everything from the crazy to the mundane and the humorous to the embarrassing. And, yeah, I hope to talk to everybody soon.
Awesome. Well, thank you, thank you, thank you so much for being on the show. And again, your website is sassypsychic.com. The book comes out next Tuesday. The book is called Searching for Sassy, an LA phone psychic's tales of life, lust, and love. And the name of today's guest is Allison Mead. Thank you so much, Allison. Are you on Facebook and Twitter and stuff? We should totally
connect.
Thank
you. I am, yeah. Those links are also on my website right under the sign-up box for the email list.
Cool. Okay, well, I'll look you up, and everyone listening should also look you up. So thank you so much. Have a wonderful day. And good luck with your book launch. I hope it goes to, like, number one.
Thanks so much.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye. So this has been Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I am your host, Marie Bernard. Thank you so much for listening. And also, I hope it wasn't, like, taking up too much with all my questions, because I know you guys like to ask questions too. But today, the show, I just felt like it was fun to get an idea of what Allison's work really kind of looks like. So if you want to contact her for your own reading, you can go to her website, sassypsychic.com. And coming up in just a moment is Parts Unknown. So I will be back next Monday at noon. Be well. I love you so much. Namaste.
It's somewhere and it's sometime, an unfamiliar trail, a hopeful destination, a half-lived fairy tale. And I'm on the road, and a feeling lights my way. No matter what unfolds, I'll be okay. And the highway pulls me onward, I'm beckoned by the moon. There's an answer in here somewhere, everything's a clue. And I am on the road, and though a part of me it kicks and screams to stay, I know no matter what, I'll be okay. Traveling, it's lonely, it's forever at this wheel. I relive some lost affection as I search for something real. And I'm on the road. Oh, I just might lose my way, but I know no matter what, I'll be okay.